And now we turn to a story that dives deep into Arizona history.
The deadliest gunfight in Arizona history didn't happen at the storied OK Corral. In fact, it took place on a cold winter morning outside of a remote cabin in a place called Rattlesnake Canyon. And it wasn't a classic Wild West shootout. It was over the federal government's draft into what would become known as the First World War. In her new book, Arizona's Deadliest Gunfight, historian Heidi Ossalier tells the story of the Power family, who wanted nothing to do with modern civilization or a foreign war, but ultimately couldn't escape the expanding reach of the federal government.
Well, the Powers were actually a very poor family from the South. They were cattle ranchers who had lived in Texas. They barely eked out an existence running a farm and cattle ranching in New Mexico, and finally ended up in a very remote part of Arizona outside of the town of Klondike. Now, Klondike's a ghost town today with a population of 5. But back then, there were about 300 people there, mostly cattle ranchers, and in the greater Aravaipa Canyon, where it's located in Graham County, there were about 1,000 people, but they lived way out in a place called Rattlesnake Canyon. Really wasn't good grazing land. The canyons were too steep and the conditions were too rough. So they were failing, and they were living out there in the middle of nowhere when World War I came along.
So let's talk about that historic context here. So the First World War, the Great War at the time, was sort of just beginning. And this family, right, didn't really want to be any part of this.
Right.
Tell us what happened.
Well, again, it comes from them being from the South. And there were a lot of Southern draft resistors during the Civil War and then later on in World War I. And they didn't see any reason to send their boys to die in a foreign war based on old world aristocracies. And they really thought instead they should be home working the farm. And they were evaders. They refused to register. And that was a misdemeanor, a federal misdemeanor. It's not a big crime. The county sheriff, Frank McBride, he was a real stickler about the rules. And he really believed that everyone should go to war. He was head of the county draft board, and he thought all young men who were eligible should sign up. And he knew the Power boys were hiding up in Rattlesnake Canyon and avoiding the draft. But there really wasn't much he could do. It's expensive to get a posse to go out in the middle of nowhere. It's even from Klondike, it's a half-day hard ride on horseback. Today, I've been up there. It's very remote. It's hard to get there. It's a tough trip. Mm-hmm. And so he couldn't get up there until word came back that the youngest daughter in the family, Ola Mae, had died under very mysterious conditions. Nobody, the medical examiner, no one could figure out what killed her. So the sheriff decided he really wanted to go investigate. He didn't like the testimony of her father and the hired man, Tom Sisson, that lived there. He charged the two men with perjury, told the feds that, I think there's something suspicious going up there, and finally was authorized to go on a posse. They were authorized by the Department of Justice to do this, and I think really it all goes back to the war. There are a million theories, but none of them panned out. I spent a lot of years looking in the archives locally in the state and federally to see what crimes they were guilty of. The only thing I kept coming back to was World War I.
The sheriff came after them that night.
He came after them on February 10th, 1918 at dawn, and he rode up with a deputy U.S. Marshal and two deputies, four men, surrounded their little tiny mining cabin out in the middle of nowhere. And the people inside were just waking at dawn on Sunday. And Jeff Power, the father, he lives out where there's bears and mountain lions and rustlers and outlaws. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he walks out the front door with his Winchester raised because he hears noises. And somebody in the dark yells, "Throw up your hands." And this is testimony from the deputy marshal. He said, as Power was starting to comply with the order, firing commenced. And Power was the first man down, shot in front of his own doorway.
But he wasn't the only one who died that night.
No. Everyone retreated for a minute after he was down. And then the fighting started again. And after the smoke cleared, as they said in Hollywood, both the two deputies, and the county sheriff, Frank McBride, were dead. And the deputy marshal, who was sort of removed from the action, he went to get help.
Wow. Most people assume, right, that the deadliest gunfight in Arizona history has to be the OK Corral. This is Tombstone. There are shows. This is legendary, you know, Hollywood fodder at this point. But this, in fact, this remote cabin over World War I in the draft was the deadliest gunfight in our history.
There were three dead at the OK Corral. There was three dead in one of the gun battles that took place during the Pleasant Valley War. You know, most of the time we have this vision of gunfights taking place like an Old West movie, you know, two men walking down the street with guns cocked and all that. I think this was a case where it's a much more modern story. Arizona had just become a state, and really there wasn't this lawless element in the state anymore. You know, things were fairly well regulated. And
this wasn't the Wild West.
This was not the Wild West, but this was more about civil liberties and the ability to protest. Can you protest a war? Mm-hmm. These men did so. They refused to buy war bonds. They refused to join the Red Cross. And during World War I, that was a dangerous thing. It's when they passed the Espionage Act in Congress, and the Espionage Act said that pretty much anybody that spoke against the war could be tried, and a lot of people went to federal prison for just saying, I don't agree with this war.
Hmm. So they were unable in the end to sort of escape the grasp of this federal government, which was growing at the time. This was not America the way we know it today. Tell us a little bit more about the broader historic governmental context there.
Well, they were called slackers if you're a draft resistor. Mm-hmm. Then you don't have much hope of getting a fair trial. And I think that's what you see, that when they walked out of the cabin at dawn on a Sunday and saw the sheriff and two men dead, they knew they were in trouble. So they ran, but they didn't run away. They ran to their neighbors and said, we shot the sheriff. And then they took off to try and find somebody that was friendly to them to turn themselves in, because they thought they were going to be part of a lynch mob. Mm-hmm. And that was the fear all along while they were on the run for a month before they surrendered to military per cavalry officer in Mexico. But really, it was very hard for them to get a fair trial. So they spent 42 years in state prison.
So I want to talk lastly about why you think it's important to tell this story right now. Because right now we see the rise of this sort of anti-government, mm-hmm. anti-establishment mm-hmm. Rhetoric in the country. What do you think about that?
I think it's interesting that these gentlemen never got a parole hearing, really didn't get released until the 1960, after an Arizona Republic journalist by the name of Don Dodera, who is still alive and sat down with a lot of interviews with me on this, presented this as a new light to a different audience and said, you know, what are these old men doing in jail there in their 60s? And in 1969, Governor Jack Williams of Arizona gave them a full pardon. And you got to think about what was going on in 1969, all the Vietnam War protests. So we have a different view of the draft today. I think we got to keep that image in mind, that we have a more modern image of that balance, that yes, everybody should have a right to protest.
All right. Heidi Ossalier is the author of Arizona's Deadliest Gunfight. Heidi, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us about this.
Thank you, Lauren.